بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس شبابك قبل هرمك وصحتك قبل سقمك وغناءك قبل فقرك وفراهك قبل شهلك وحياتك قبل موتك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Dear respected brothers and elders, whoever we may visit, whichever function or gathering we may attend, or whichever group of friends we may sit in, by and large, we find people complaining about different problems, different difficulties. Although these complaints may be valid, however, it is not correct to only focus on the difficulties, to only focus on the problems, and forgetting the ni'mas, the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we enjoy in our life. In fact, ingratitude is a plot of shaitan. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instructed all the malaika, all the angels, all the farishtas to bow down to make sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And everyone complied, they all obeyed, except shaitan. Shaitan blankly refused to make sajda, to bow down to Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And because of this, Shaitan took a vow, he made a promise that he will get back to the progeny of Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Nabi Adam alayhi salam. How he will get back to them? By making them feel ungrateful. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran. قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Shaitan said, now that you have misguided me, now that you have thrown me out of Jannah, I will certainly get back to the progeny of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ Shaitan said, I will come to them and I will attack them from every side, from their front, from their back, from their right, from their left. And what will be the outcome? وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ And you will find most of them to be ungrateful. You know, if you look into our lives, we see, Alhamdulillah, we are enjoying countless and numerous favors and bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on a numerous basis, on a daily basis. You know, true happiness does not lie in acquiring those things which we do not have. But true happiness lies in making full use of the things we already have. You know, the reality of our depression, of our feeling down, is that we always look at those who have more than us when it comes to this world. Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us in one hadith that when it comes to this world, always look at those who have less than us, who are less fortunate than us. Why? In that way, what will happen? In that way, we will appreciate the bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that He has favored us. So today we would like to narrate one hadith, and that hadith is extremely comprehensive. It applies to each and every one of us. Maybe if we are not enjoying all five favors, then we are at least enjoying three. If we are not enjoying three, we are at least enjoying one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advises his sahaba, he advises his ummah, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمسين. that oh my ummah, oh my sahaba, value 5 bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala before they are replaced by 5 conditions of adversity. Number 1, shababaka qabla haramik, that value your youth before your old age. You know, when a person is young, at that time, it is very easy for a person to do good deeds. It is very easy for a person to change his ways. You know, the reward for a young person who engages in ibadah of Allah is even greater than an old person who makes the ibadah of Allah. As we see in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be 7 special groups under the shade of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now just to digress, you know, the day of Qiyamah is so frightening, is so scary. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran, He paints the picture of the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That on the day of Qiyamah, no one will want to know another person. A parent won't want to know his or her own child. A friend won't want to know his or own bosom buddy or his own friend. And the sun will be over the heads of people. But on that day, there will be 7 special groups of people who will be under the shade of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And one group from amongst the 7, shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah, is a youngster who spent his youth in the ibadah, in the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You know, in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about 3 incidents. And in one incident, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the Ashabul Kaf. So the Ashabul Kaf, they were known as the sleepers of the cave. And in the introduction of this incident in the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. Verily they were youngsters. Alluding to the fact that when a person is young, then at that time, it is very easy for a person to change, to bring in himself good deeds, to come onto the straight path. You know, if you look into the Quraysh, then we see those who accepted Islam from the Quraysh, they were mostly youngsters. Why? Because when an older person is stuck on his ways, it is very hard for an older person to change. You know, you take an example of a weed. When a weed starts growing, then you can break it off with 2 fingers. And if you leave it even longer, you need a fist to break it off. And if you leave it even longer, you need 2 hands to break it off. And if you leave it even longer, you need some equipment like a spade, etc. And if you leave it even longer, you need a bulldozer or some big equipment. So similarly, when a person is young, then at that time, it is very easy for a person to change. And especially now being the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is a month full of blessings. Now many of us sitting here may say, you know what, we are going old. How does this apply to us? So many of us have children, have grandchildren, have nephews, have nieces. Encourage them. Encourage them to do good deeds. So we are speaking about the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, value 5 bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala before they are replaced by 5 conditions of adversity. Number 2, value your health before you become sick. You know, good health is a ni'mah, is a bounty which is taken for granted. You know, there's an incident narrated about a pious person. So this pious person, he had to go for an operation. And, you know, when he comes back home, so people are coming to visit him. I don't know, just to digress, you know, Islam is such a beautiful religion that even when a person is sick, Islam teaches us to go and visit that person. And there are great rewards promised for going to visit the sick. So coming back to the incident, so there was this pious person who went for this operation and he came back home. So people are coming to visit him. So this one person came and he started speaking. He's asking this pious person that what had happened. So he says that, you know what, throughout my life, I could pass urine very freely. And 2, 3 times, 4 times a day, I surpass urine very freely. And I never thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for this great bounty. And eventually, it came to such a stage where I couldn't pass urine. And I had to go for this operation. So sometimes we take the bounties, the ni'mas of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very lightly. You know, generally people regard having wealth as better than having good health. No, no, no. There are many, many wealthy people who, despite having all the wealth of this world, they can't enjoy good health. You know, there's an incident narrated about a king. And this king, he couldn't pass urine. So he told his servants, you know what? There's a certain pious person. Go to him and ask him for the cure, because he has a cure. So the servants went to this pious person and they told him, this is what has happened to the king. So the pious man said, you know what, tell the king he must come himself. So they got upset. How is this man talking like this? So eventually they go to the king and they tell the king that, you know what, this is, the pious man said that you must come yourself. So the king decides that, you know what, I will go there. So he goes to the pious man and he relates his problem. He says, this is my problem, that I can't pass urine. So the pious man says, I will give you the cure, but what are you going to give in return? So the king, he thinks, he scratches his head, and he says, you know what, I will give half my kingdom. So the pious man says, okay, done deal, nothing for nothing. So he gave him the cure that he can pass urine very freely all the time. So after a few days, again, this king comes back, and he complains that, you know what, my urine is just coming out all the time. So I need the cure that my urine must return back to normal. So the pious man says, now what are you going to give? So the king thinks, and he says, right, the other half of my kingdom. So the deal was signed, and he was granted the cure, and he goes away. After a few days, he comes back, and he asks this pious man that, you know what? What must I do now? So the pious man tells him, you know what? Go and look for some work, go and do some labor. So the king goes away. After a few days, he comes back. He's sad, he's depressed. So the pious man asks him, what has happened? He says, you know what, I can't love. I don't feel like eating. I don't feel like sleeping. I don't feel like loving. So the pious man tells him that, you know what, I am not in need of your kingdom, nor am I in need of your wealth. I only wanted to teach you and show you that that entire kingdom that you are wishing for, that you are aspiring for, that you are working hard for your entire life, just by one great bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it has been removed. So we are talking about the hadith, that we value 5 bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala before they are replaced by 5 conditions of adversity. Number 3, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, value your wealth before you become poor. You know, people generally say that, you know what, I have to be a wealthy man. I have to have all the money of the world to be regarded as wealthy. What our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man asbaha minkum mu'afan fi jasadi. That a person who wakes up in the morning, you can walk, you can talk, you have enough food to carry you through the day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my brother, consider yourself to be the king of the world. Number 4, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, value your free time before you become engaged in something. You know, free time is a bounty which is only appreciated at that time when a person becomes busy. When a person becomes busy, then at that time a person realizes that, you know what, I could have done so much. You know, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. That there are 2 bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which people take very lightly, which they regard as very low. Number 1, الصِّحَة, good health. And number 2, free time. And the last one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, value your life before you pass away. You know, this life in this world is extremely precious. One subhanallah that we say while we are alive is even better than anything we do when we pass away. You know, this life in this world is extremely valuable, and we'll only realize it at that time when we leave this world. You know, as we know now, it is the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is an extremely valuable month. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showering down His rahmah, His mercy, His forgiveness. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is freeing numerous people from the fire of Jahannam. So let us take full benefit from this month of Ramadan. Also, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. As we know, the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. So let us dedicate our month this month of Ramadan towards the Quran. There were pious people of the past who used to make 60 khatams in the month of Ramadan. At least if we can't do that, at least try and have some target that I will make one khatam, I will make two khatams. And how we do this, plan our days, every timetable. And last but not least, let us not forget our brothers and sisters in Palestine and the Muslims throughout the world, as we all know what they are going through. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make it easy for them. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala ease their sufferings. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala soften the hearts of those enemies on a daily basis. At least let us take out some time to make dua for these people. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us hidayah to practice on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.